Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it, go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You know what that sound means, Michael Berlo.
Kevin Nash is still wrestling?
I sure hope not. But let's talk about something new and exciting and fresh and cool and clean, as the kids would say. I don't know, what's the word they use now? Unfleek. It's unfleek. That's what I heard once on the show. But we're talking about Wolf Nation here.
My favorite topic.
Nation. That is W-U-L-F. Nation. Wake up, live free. It's a clothing brand. The clothing brand that celebrates a man's beard. Mm. The ability to live free, to accomplish your dream, to not be held down by the man, to be a wolf out there.
How can you not be supporting a brand like that with that kind of description?
I don't know, but if you go and you go to Facebook at Wolf Nation, you go on Instagram at Wolf Nation, tweet at Wolf Nation, it's all there. All sorts of designs coming for adults, for kids, possibly even dogs. Mm. Maybe you can wear a Wolf Nation hoodie, maybe. Okay. Dress clothes, gym clothes, you name it. That is Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free.
That's the only way I live, Scotty.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Why, hello there. We are
back.
We're back again. It's the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. In case you didn't know when you clicked on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast logo.
Yeah, that always confuses me. Every time I click on it, I'm like, what's going to happen? And then I'm like, oh, it's me.
It's me again. Well, we are back. We're back. We're up in the 80s now, Berlo. We're up in the 80s of episodes. It seems like just yesterday we celebrated our epic 50th episode.
Oh, man. Can you imagine what 100's going to be like?
We're going to do absolutely nothing for 100.
Well, I sent the invitation to President Obama. I'm hoping to hear back from him.
You tweeted at POTUS?
Yeah.
Naturally. But we are just coming back from, well, not right now, but we are just coming off of doing our wrestling event.
Yeah.
Our 67-hour-long wrestling podcast. It was a marathon, but we definitely got some good interviews, and we got to talk to a legend in that field, in that business, Earl. It's Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
We got to see Pete Nixon. We got word from the emergency room that he is okay.
Oh, thank God.
He is okay.
It was his birthday the next day, too. All I can think about all night crying was he was going to be blind for his
you
birthday.
Were really upset. I really had to calm you down.
I know, man. I mean, you had to grab me. Like, I was going to go in the back to go after Papa Stroh. I was so angry with him.
Yeah, you were a little angry, but we contacted Pete through our PR people. And he's
we
okay.
have people?
Yeah, yeah. We got PR people.
Wow. Yeah. When that happened?
You know, we're just recruiting. We're recruiting. But, yes, welcome back. We're happy to be back. I'm a little under the weather today. I had a massive migraine all day long.
Let me kiss your forehead to make it feel better.
Where the lights are, like, bothering me and all that stuff. We might turn out the lights in here.
Oh.
Might get a little sensual. It might get a little interesting.
Well, it's gonna be nice and all because we got the reflection off the window so we can look at each other in the moonlight.
In the glow of the computer screen.
Yeah.
It's hot. But do you get migraines ever?
No, I actually, knock on wood, really get that. My headaches are usually like the little annoying ones will be like in the back of my eye or something like that, where it's like, it's not super painful, but it's going to last the entire day. And it's just like every time you feel all right, you start doing something, it just starts poking at you.
I've had several. I don't get them too often, thank God, but I've had several really scary ones where, I don't even know if they're migraines, but... Where I know my sister's had them, where first it starts with the lights start bothering you and and the onset of a massive headache, like in the back of your head, and feeling like nauseous. But I've had them where my hand will start going numb and it'll like travel up to my mouth and I start like slurring and like it's almost like a mini stroke.
I was about to say, man.
Yeah. I had one once when I was student teaching, like in the middle class, and I didn't even know what I was saying. And I had to like go sit in the hallway for a minute and go home. It was really sick. And I remember I had one when I was walking home from school as a high school kid. It just happened randomly. So hopefully I'm not dying. That would be.
I hope not. And I can carry the show.
I was going to say, if I go, please keep it going. Yeah. Find a new co-host.
Hey, guys. Just me again for the 20th week in a row. It seems like everybody just wanted to come on for Scott.
I don't have a co-host.
Now our 12-part series on Floppier.
we're once again talking about Dukes of Hazzard, episode 4.
I mean, come on, Scott. The classics never die.
Never.
Never.
It just changes to an all Dukes of Hazzard podcast. I had another interesting health experience, which there's a possibility that maybe this headache is from the onset of something that happened to me over the weekend.
Well, do tell.
Yes.
Do tell.
So I am moving. So there's two cats that lived here, and we needed to get rid of the cats, okay, to get them out. Now, I am not a cat person. Okay, I don't like cats really too much to begin with. I kind of tolerated them. They were okay. But if anybody has ever tried to get a cat, especially skittish cats, into a cage, you know what I'm about to try to describe to you.
It's the easiest thing to do. Like taking candy from a baby, like putting a wild cat into a short little box.
Yes. I think that's an old proverb, old Chinese proverb.
I think it was Socrates.
Yes. He's not Chinese.
His grandmother was.
If you Chinesify him, he'll...
Now, that just sounds silly, Scott.
So, I get into the bedroom, and I lift... they always hang out under the bed. So I bring the cage in, close the door so they can't get out of the room. And I lift the mattresses up, and they start getting sense. One starts to first run out. Charlie is the big, stupid one. He's the larger of the two. And
the friendlier of the two also.
He runs out from the bed and runs directly into the door. Goes like this. Whack. And starts going...
Is that how you got your migraine?
Yeah. And then, so we work on him first. I try to get him first, okay? Now, he starts going nuts. I have the mattresses all over, the box springs all over. He starts knocking down lamps, starts doing, like, Bruce Lee-type maneuvers all around the room, up on the desk, all the way up by the TV, flipping over the mattress, crawling up the wall, things like that. And eventually, I get him, okay? I get him in to the cage, okay?
All right.
I get him into the cage, and he's just making tons of noise, okay? He's just making lots of noise.
Victory accomplished.
Yes. So, this is kind of like what it's sounding like in
mm-hmm.
here. Okay. So he's making all sorts of noise. I get him. Now I got to work on who I knew would be the hard one, and that was Dee. Mm-hmm. And she's extremely skittish.
Damn it, Dee!
Extremely skittish. In fact, never comes near me. Never, ever came near me. And so I try to get Dee, and she is like a scene from The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
The cat is going all over the place, under dressers, I'm throwing box. I'm trying, at one point, I'm trying to throw like sweatshirts on top of it to try to like capture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, first, she goes under one dresser, and I'm trying to like poke her out with a hanger. With a hanger. I'm trying to poke her out with a hanger. And she's growling, and she's growling, and she's hissing. And she snatches the hanger out of my hand and pulls it toward her, and like just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to reach my hand in.
Ah, this sounds like it's going to be a happy ending.
Yeah, I go to reach my hand on there to try to grab her, and she chomps the shit out of my thumb, bites me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never knew a cat could bite that hard. Now, I know their scratches suck. I've been scratched many times, mm-hmm. but I've never been bit. It punctured me. I start bleeding all over the place. And I'm like, ah. Like, I felt like I had something dropped on me. Like, it was like a bruising type feeling.
Ooh.
And I'm bleeding. So, the bit then that, this is where I start getting angry. Like, I'm like, okay. Now it's a battle here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I shit you not. At least a half hour goes by. The cat is everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. At one point, I look over. The cat scales the wall, going up the wall. Goes up the window and is between the window and the ceiling. Front paws on the ceiling and bottom paws on the top of the window. And is just sitting there going, hah! So I try to catch it while it's on the wall with a sweatshirt. Didn't work. She flips out, dives.
Do you think the cat did not want to go in the box?
You are very good at deducing here.
Well, you know, I am an animal lover, so I have a lot of background.
So, at one point, she's under the TV stand. I'm just moving the TV, and she's just standing there. And I'm grabbing her back, but she's clawed into the rug so hard that I can't even get her off.
Wow.
I'm pulling her back legs. Nothing happens. So finally, I get an idea. I say, okay. There's got to be a way to trap her. I was thinking, do I have like a fishing net or something mm-hmm. like that? And then I'm thinking, like, her in a net, I'll never get her out of the. Like, her claws will be all in there, and that'll be a whole disaster.
There you go.
So I decide on a laundry basket.
Okay.
So I dump my laundry. And so there's laundry everywhere now. There's mattresses. There's box springs. Two lamps knocked over. All the furniture out of place.
At any time where you're saying to yourself, you know what? I'm going to keep this thing.
No. There was points I'm like, I'm just going to put this thing down.
Okay.
Mm. I'm not. You know, this thing is going to die. Or I am. So.
Who was in the lead?
Cat was whooping my ass. So I'm bleeding. There's blood on the laundry basket. There's blood on my mattress. And I finally get her. I trap her under the laundry basket. Okay, and I have my hand on top of it.
All right.
So now I'm halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm halfway there. I got her. So I have... First, I had two cages, but one, the entrance to the cage was just way too... There was no way it was happening. So the big cage, I said, okay, somehow I got to get a cat in... And not let Charlie out, who's in the cage, making noise.
This is like a great, like the what was the test you gave me last?
The Wonderlic test.
Yeah, that should be a part of the Wonderlic test. You have one cat under a hamper. You have another in a cage. You need to get both in the cage.
So
how do you do it?
They should put
Pass.
Him. They should put him in a room, and you have 30. You have 10
Cam
minutes
Newton.
To get this cat.
If you want to be the Panthers quarterback next year, you put that cat in that cage.
Remember Rocky chasing the chickens? So this is where some serious ingenuity comes in. I got to give myself some credit here. So I take the laundry basket
mm-hmm.
and I inch it as close to the cage as possible.
Okay.
Now, I know that if I lift this laundry basket at all, the cat's going to go out the sides. So I deduce... To make a tunnel system. So I take blankets
and towels. And I am straddling over the cage and the laundry basket. And I put my feet down on the towels, like real hard, so my weight's down. Mm-hmm. And I make this tunnel where literally it can't go out left or right. And I slowly lift just like almost like just like an inch off the ground. So there's only one way out, forward. And I'm praying that Charlie doesn't get out. So after I finally create the tunnel system, I lift the laundry basket. And she just walks right in. Like, like oh, that's all I had to do? So 50-minute battle with the cat comes to an end. Okay. So now
we are the champions.
My parents come up and I tell them I get bit by a cat, and my dad's like, "You got to go to the hospital." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "It's, you know, it's just like a wound, you know, nothing big, but it like punctured deep." He's like, "No, I work with someone who was bit by a cat and their whole hand became infected."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "No, come on, get out of here." So I do the worst thing probably when something happens to you. I begin to Google.
Ah.
I begin to Google, which is like WebMD.
Yeah, like, when you put it in there, it's like, nah, it's all cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No. It's like WebMD. You're like, oh, I got a scratch on my foot. It's automatically stomach
that's
cancer.
That's like the luck of the Irish, right? Four-leaf clover, getting your hand bitten off by a cat.
You ever look on WebMD, you got a headache, all of a sudden you think you have a brain tumor, and you're just instantly dead. It's like it could be a headache or stage 4 brain cancer. It's like, oh, well.
Hmm.
So you get someone like Joe Fernandez, who's a complete hypochondriac. That's like the worst possible website for him. So my mom and dad are like, you got to go. After about an hour, I decide, okay, fine, I'm going to go. So I go, and I'm there, and the ER is pretty empty, which is good, because I'm picturing I'm going to be there for 3 hours for a stupid cat bite, and all the stuff that was supposed to get moved would not be moved, and I had all this help there.
And meanwhile, the cops show up at your house for a complaint. They just see gallons of blood everywhere around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, have you seen this missing child? What?
So I get a tetanus shot. Now, I'm getting worried because a lot of them said they get rabies shots, and that's like the shots in the stomach and like a bunch of small shots. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I have a history of passing out from shots, like back in the day.
Really?
And it's weird because the shots don't bother me. They like the actual act of getting a shot, it's like, okay, whatever. It's this weird reaction that me, my cousin, my dad's had it, my sister's had it, where like we get up and then all of a sudden like the blinds start closing and we start getting weak. It's really weird. I even asked the doctor there. I'm like, look, I have this history of passing out, so make sure I'm sitting down. I'm like, is this like a medical thing or is this just my family? He's like, well, it's not really that common. I'm like, oh, I'm telling you. In the Brennan family, it sure is. And I'm making fun of myself the whole time. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for cat bites. And like the woman's like, cat bite, huh? I'm like, yeah. But they told me, like, you should definitely go because cats carry all sorts of shit. And, like, for whatever reason, cats carry it way more than, like, dog bites, stuff like that.
They're all nasty.
Yeah. So that was my weekend. Now I'm on these antibiotics. I'm kind of feeling nauseous. I don't know if it's this headache is onset from that. I have no idea. But I will never, again, have a cat.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, by the way, those two cats had kittens. They're over there in the back room right now. Kind of feral.
you had a lot of experience. You were a vet tech for a little while.
Vet tech for, we were basically a mobile clinic. We went to all the Petcos in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware. Really fun job. Eventually, I went over to customer service. I just didn't enjoy the vet teching so much. I mean, the biggest thing I had to deal with, the worst route would be the Hartsfield-Yonkers route. Because you would have the cat woman who would come in at Dollar Rabies Shot Day.
Dollar Rabies Shot Day.
Yeah, with 12 stray cats.
Ugh. Ugh.
Like, you just see, like, 12 boxes just shaking around. And they're like, can you look at his eye? I think he might have something. And I'm like, I'm not opening this box.
I think he's missing one.
Oh, wait, he ate somebody else's. Never mind.
So did a cat ever F you up? Or?
Yeah, the worst was basically that scenario. Woman brought in the stray cat from the woods, wanted to be nice. and just insanely, like, basically the box was jumping as high as a regular cat would jump. That's how insane this cat was. So this doctor came up with a plan. He's like, all right, you're going to put on the welder gloves and hold on to the cat. And welder gloves aren't the greatest because you just can't get that scruff. But they had another girl come over who had some vet teching thing. They're like, we're going to take a towel, and basically you're just going to hold down the towel with both arms, kind of like your system.
My tunnel system. Yeah. Yes.
And we're just going to hold down the cat. We're going to poke it and put it back in the carrier. All right, going through an exam. Cat's going nuts. I'm holding on for dear life, but we got the towel system. I'm doing good. Everything's good. Doctor gives a shot. Okay, I'm done. The girl sits back and figures, well, you're done. Let me let go of the towel.
Mm-hmm.
The cat turned around, basically, as I had the scruff, it found a way to contort its body where all four of his claws dug into me, then turned his mouth around and bit through my thumbnail.
Uh-huh. So you have a cat bite. You're a cat bite survivor also?
Yes, yes.
Wow, two cat bite survivors. This
is... And I'm just... I mean, that you think I got a loud voice. You should have heard me that day.
Cat bite survivor.
And I was
we should just... get shirts with ribbons on that. Like ribbons that say cat bite survivor.
Yeah, a tiger stripe ribbon.
You would have
never forget.
When I was battling this cat, you thought I was freaking battling a baby panther. It was ridiculous, yeah. Man.
They're just nasty. I tell everybody the same thing. Like when I used to vet tech, they're like, oh, you must have been terrified when these people brought in these Rottweilers and all that stuff. I said, I will take on the nastiest, most vicious Rottweiler, 200-some-odd pounds, before I take on an 8-pound cat. Because with the Rottweiler, get that arm under his neck, pull it through, he's got nothing.
Yeah.
Cat has four claws and a mouth and knows how to use all five.
Plus, remember Charlie Day. He says, you know, cats flatten, they're able to flatten out and go into walls.
As funny as it sounds, they just find ways. I mean, one cat.
We just put a cat in the wall, put a string, and then pull him out. We'll get the cat.
One of the women who brought in the 10 cats, she opened up. One of the stray cats went under the grates where all the cat food was, and she's like, can you help me forget this? I'm like, honey, that cat's lost forever.
It's gone. Yeah. Sorry, Spooky's gone.
Like, the closest I ever came with the dogs was we had this one old vet who just did it for the money, nasty guy, Dr. Raven, I think his name was. He was famous for being a nasty guy and having a colostomy bag doing this.
Oh.
He'd, like, brag to people, and like, yeah, I've got the colostomy bag on. I should be having the surgery soon.
Oh, no, that's our guest in 2 seconds.
Yeah, but he basically refused to, like, examine the dogs on the floor. So any dog that came in would have to go up on the table. So a guy brings a 240-pound Rottweiler, who's not the most friendliest of animals at the time. And so we're trying to get this 240-pound dog on this, like, barely standing folding table, and it's just getting angrier and angrier. And I got it in the grip, but he's so huge, it's kind of hard to explain. He still had movement. So at one point, as the doctor was examining him, he turned his head, and I just felt my hair as he grabbed it. He didn't get skin, but he attempted to bite, and he got a good chunk of my hair. He didn't pull out any, and I was petrified, and, like, we're giving him shots, and he's like, all right, I need to give him the Bordetella. Bordetella is kennel cough.
Yep.
And most of the time, it goes through the nose.
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm not letting go of this situation until we're done and all. You can give him the shot one. Oh, but the shot one is not as good. I'm like, you take that fucking shot, put it in his ass, and let him go.
You've said that many times before.
Yeah.
But, yes, that is cat drama weekend, cat scratch fever.
Cat drama weekend.
But
Wonderful shenanigans.
Let's switch gears here.
All right.
Let's switch gears. Okay. I can never do that job, by the way, ever. True. I don't like sticking needles and animals and stuff. But you're a big superhero fan, right?
Yes, I am.
You like superhero. Who's your favorite superhero?
Spider-Man.
So the last couple Spider-Man movies must have been very disappointing.
Thank God Marvel's taken back over. He might end up in the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, I heard. Mm-hmm. But, Berlo, we got, for you, I know you're a big superhero guy.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a superhero on the show today.
Is it The Flash?
Not The Flash. Better.
Is it Plastic Man?
Better.
Better than Plastic Man.
Yes, better than Plastic Man. In fact, he is a New Jersey.
Is he that new Avenger that came through where everybody's like, who the hell is that in Avengers 3?
No. Okay. No. Avengers 3.
2.
I was like, you saw it already? But it is Captain Bayonne.
Is he related to Captain Caveman?
Nope. He's Captain Bayonne. He is a superhero that roams the streets of Bayonne, New Jersey, keeping it safe and promotes healthy lifestyles, okay?
Ooh.
So we're going to get him on the line. Let's play his theme song.
Ooh.
Captain Bayonne by the Bayonne Bleeders. All right, let's Skype Captain Bayonne.
All right, I'm feeling this.
Here we go. I am excited. Hello.
Hello.
Wow. We just played the ballad of Captain Bayonne. Is this Captain Bayonne himself?
It is. How are you?
Wow. Wow. It is an honor to speak to you, sir.
Same here.
Captain Bayonne. This is, I'm Scott Brennan. This is Michael Berlo. He's my cohort.
Captain, I'm the sidekick to the Mets Avenger.
Yes, yes. So Captain Bayonne,
I'm a fan as well, so I'm happy to be talking to you.
Well, I'm a Phillies fan, so I'm not happy with either of you two.
Uh-oh.
But...
I do love Philadelphia, though. Philadelphia's a great city.
Thank you.
I don't know about that.
Hey, well, if Captain Bayonne endorses us, you have to like it.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. So, Captain Bayonne, how do we have the honor of getting you off duty from protecting the mean streets of Bayonne?
I do get, I get time off every now and again, so I'm not, it's not a 24-hour job.
No.
Yeah, I'm a unionized superhero. So, I follow a strict rule of conduct. I know when I have to take my breaks. I know, when overtime is going to kick in, it's time and a half.
Wow.
So I'm not trying to be that much of a hero where I'm going to work 24/7.
And yeah. You have to call Commissioner Gordon when you take a day off.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So are you on the payroll of Bayonne?
I am not. Oh. No. I do this for free.
So let's talk a little bit. So you've been Captain Bayonne now for approximately how long?
I would say now it's 5 years.
Five years, Captain Bayonne. Now, tell us the origins. Every superhero has a great origin story.
Well, I know people that do know the story, they're going to say, oh, no, here he goes again. He's going to tell this story. I'm so tired of hearing this story.
Kind of like Superman's retelling the story.
It's not that exciting. It's not overly exciting, but it really is the basis of my origin, which is I was training for the New York City Marathon in 2010.
Okay.
And, I didn't have a gym membership at that time. I would come home after work. I'd go out. I'd go for my run. And, once you get into October and November, it tends to get, darker earlier. So I was on my way back from my run. I would run down to First Street in Bayonne and run back. I live further uptown. And as I was coming back, there was a car on Avenue A, and it tried to make a left-hand turn, but it was doing probably about 65 miles an hour in a 25 zone. And somehow the car, as I was crossing, was able to stop right in front of me, did not run me over, but, you know, I got an adrenaline rush at that point. And, you know, cause I mean, I'm just figuring I'm going to go through the windshield.
Right.
And, there was two guys in the car, two young guys, and they got out and they started apologizing. And, you know, at that point with the adrenaline rush, I was really upset. I was very mad. I started cursing at them. I started saying things about their mother. I think I started saying things about their grandmother. yeah, so it wasn't good. And at that point, they tried to defend themselves by saying that I was wearing dark clothing and that I should really wear something that helps me to stick out. So
okay.
In a way, they sort of put this into my mind. You know, and I just kept going on and on, and I was cursing more and more. And then I started walking away, and then I saw them going in the car. I think they were looking for batteries to throw at me or something. You know, so it got to the point where, yes, I did survive not getting hit by their car, but now I was probably in the process of having two people try to beat me up.
All right. Now, let's talk about what this caused, okay? This caused you to then make a decision, make a very interesting decision, and that would be to...
Well, I think I listened to their advice, and their advice was, you know, obviously somewhat valid, that, you know, I really need to stick out if I'm running at night or even during the day. I mean, you know, so I really started to put it together from there and really think of what I could do to stick out. And, you know, this is what I came up with.
Which is what? Why don't you describe it for the listeners a little bit here?
I have I wear a wrestling mask. It's called Fray Tormenta. That's the name of the mask. It's basically a yellow, orangish sort of mask. And it has red thunderbolts on the side. It's sort of my signature mask that I always wear. And then I sort of accessorize that with, you know, all sorts of leggings or you know, T-shirts that are kind of unique to my character. But it's always changing. It's always evolving. I'm always looking for new things, original things that I could wear to represent Captain Bayonne.
Now, have you thought about a cape?
I do have a cape, but I don't run with the cape because it just I guess it would probably cause another problem where, you know, it's away or it flies over my head and, you know, I run under a bus or something like that. So I try, I will wear the cape like when I'm going to a running event, a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K or something along those lines. And I'll take it off. And then when I'm finished, I tend to put it back on just to keep myself warm.
Yeah, now someone told me they saw you the other day running in, I believe it was some kind of camouflage,
Yeah, I have a camouflage gear that I wear. You know, I mean, I really feel strongly about the military and, you know, trying to support them. Obviously, you know, everything that's going on now in the world, they really could use all the support we can give them.
Right.
Yeah, but you do understand by putting on camouflage, it kind of defeated the purpose of making sure they could see you.
I do, but it sort of makes my head look like it's floating. My body. So, you know, like when somebody is driving by and they're like, oh my God, look at the floating head. So, you know, it probably catches their attention more so because then all they see is red shoes and a floating head.
Now, when you started doing this, okay, the first time you go out running, okay, what is the reaction from people?
It's sort of all over the place. for the most part, I would say the percentage people do laugh. People get what I'm trying to get at, which is to make them laugh above all else. And also to get my exercise in.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are occasionally people who are confrontational, you know, get visibly upset. I sometimes see old people, like, they don't even say anything, but you can read their mind. You can see that, you know, in their mind they're saying, you know, like an old lady will be like, Harold, all right, that's it. We're moving out of Bayo. There's too many crazies around here. Roll the house.
So you start dressing up like this, and how often are you running now in these outfits? Like, how many days a week?
Most often you would see me in Bayonne would be on the weekends. You see me a lot during the summertime because I do get a lot of vacation because I am a union member. So I get about 5 weeks vacation. I have about 66 days, three floating days. I get paid for all holidays. So I'm
a superhero is not bad.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I'm around quite a bit. So
do you need some super friends?
Yeah. I mean, get in the union. Come on, let's super friends unite.
So you start running in these crazy outfits, and obviously people are going to start recognizing you and start getting used to seeing you. And it seems, from what I read, that it kind of took a life of its own, that people start recognizing you, calling you Captain Bayonne.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't come up with the name. You played the song, The Ballad of Captain Bayonne, which is by Mike Mullane and the Bayonne Bleeders.
Bayonne Bleeders, and Chuck Wepner reference.
Yeah, I just saw Chuck Wepner the other day on Avenue B in Bayonne. You can't miss him because he's got plates that say Champ.
Yeah, my dad had a business in Bayonne for 25 years, and Chuck Wepner used to come in all the time. My dad had an electronic repair shop there.
Oh, okay.
It's called D&B Electronics. I don't know if you remember, if you've been in Bayonne all your life, but
yeah, it sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yes.
Chuck was a liquor salesman. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he would be around quite a bit, but yeah, I saw him the other day. He was pulled over on Avenue B. I waved at him. He honked at me. I still have yet to get a photo with Chuck Wepner. I was going to stop him the other day, but then he just took off again. So
I wonder why.
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe because there's a man in a mask and a cape approaching him.
Get back here!
Well, the funny thing is, I did the one time I did run into him, and I've told people this story, was at the A&P in Bayonne, and I was not in the mask. I was just regular, you know, food shopping. And he came in the store and I recognized him. And rather than, I don't know what possessed me, but I was standing by the miniature watermelons. And
naturally.
I was holding them up and I asked him, can you tell if these are fresh? And he told me to get the hell out of here. And he went the other direction. And you know, I really ruined my moment to get a picture or an autograph or something with Chuck Wepner.
You didn't ruin it because if you're in the mask next time, he'll never know that you're the weird watermelon dude.
But I'm going to bring it up, and then he's probably going to tell me to go to hell again.
You ever think of a Wepner-Captain Bayonne fight for Bayonne?
Oh, I would love it. I mean, I know he kicked the crap out of me, but you know, I mean, if it's for charity, I'd be willing to get in the ring.
So you'll never see the bruising under the mask. Oh, well, that's a key thing.
Ronda Rousey me. I'm tell you, he's gonna. Woo.
So you start doing this, but you start to have some kind of purpose for it too.
Well,
it's
seen. As I was mentioning about Mike Mullane, he was the one that started the Facebook page. Dubbed me Captain Bayonne. So, I mean, I had been doing this for probably about 2 or 3 years of just consistently going out and running and wearing the mask and not having a name. He was the one that dubbed it because I guess he saw me a lot and he took pictures and, you know, eventually they came up with the name. I think one time I saw him at one of the parades because I would invite myself to parades in Bayonne, like St. Patrick's Day, Memorial Day. And, you know, I would love if they said to me, we'd like you to walk in the parade, and it just never happened. So I would show up and I would be the first person to leave the parade, to start the parade. And I would run down Broadway and, you know, I was helping cops to clear the streets and, you know, get your car out of there. You're moving or you're going to get towed, you know, helping to clean up a little, make it look a little presentable. And, you know, just from there, once they started putting the question out, who is this guy and what is his mission? That's when some people that knew me and knew I did this started to contact me, and it sort of took off from there. I had Weird New Jersey looking for me for an interview, and I was happy to meet with those guys and get into the magazine because I'm just in awe of the magazine. I told Mark and Mark that, you know, it's like the Time magazine to me. I mean, I wish I could have been on the cover, but I'm not going to complain at all. I mean, those guys are amazing. They're really, I don't think people give them enough credit for what they do. They're really the historians of New Jersey.
Right.
You know, some of it may be weird, but I mean, they do know a great deal of history about New Jersey, and they really do their part.
Now, what is your purpose? What are you trying to do with this Captain Bale, other than stay in shape and be seen and buy cars and stuff? You obviously have some kind of purpose, some kind of mission. What is it?
Well, I think it really helped me to understand the importance of just civic duty and just trying to help people out when people are down. And I've been contacted for a number of things over the years, and wherever I can help out, I will. Sometimes it's just a post on the page to, you know, for a GoFundMe page, or there's people. We had a lot of fires here last year during the winter months, and, you know, people lost their homes and their belongings and things like that. So I've gone out there and I've just stood on the street corner outside of some of the businesses, and you know, people will give me money and you know, don't question it. They know who I am, and, you know, we can take that money and we can hand it off to the people or donate it to the GoFundMe page.
So you are trying to promote a kind of like a healthy lifestyle too. I read
that's my main purpose. Yeah, I mean, I think too many people don't realize just the importance of maintaining your health and trying to stay on top of it and to eat right and to exercise. I was somebody who wanted my first year of college. I went from I think about 150 pounds to 225, which
wow.
was the heaviest I've ever been in my life.
Freshman 75, huh?
Yeah. I had a really good meal plan, and it was down in Florida. And, you know, for every meal, I would say I ate at least two portions. So two portions for breakfast of, like, sausage, biscuits, and gravy. I would wash that down with some delicious chocolate milk. Then for lunch, you know, whatever lunch was, pizza or sandwiches or whatever. And then dinner, you know, two portions of whatever that was. Let me try a little bit of this and that. And then they had a policy where they allowed you to take food out of the cafeteria. So I would make one of those ridiculous peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that are like, you know, 10 slices of bread. And then I go in my room and while I was studying and I, you know, I'd suck that thing down. So, you know, I like to eat. I enjoy to eat without a doubt. But, you know, I understand the consequences of eating too much and what it'll do to you. And I don't want to be, not just myself or anybody, I don't want them to be sick, ill, you know, immobilized in any way, not able to get around, on medication. I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to stress. And hopefully when people see me out there and they're like, oh God, not this guy again, you know, they'll say to themselves, well, you know, hopefully, you know, I see him so much. Why can't I do something? Why can't, you know, they don't have to be as fanatical about it as I am, but, you know, just walking or just changing your diet somewhat would make a major difference.
Right. Wait, this is weird. We have another, we have another call coming in. That's weird. Hello?
Hello there, Scott.
Who the hell is this?
Oh, your caller knows who I am. Captain, don't you, Captain Bayonne?
Captain Bayonne, do you know this man?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, don't you recognize me, Captain Bayonne? It's your old buddy, Jersey City Joker.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Wait, the Jersey City Joker?
Yes, Scott.
Captain Bayonne, do you know this man?
I don't think so.
How do you know Jersey City Joker, let me talk to you a little bit here since you called this show. Now, how do you know Captain Bayonne?
Oh, we have a long history together. You see, I'm the one who made Captain Bayonne.
What do you mean?
I was the one driving the car.
No. No. So you tried to hit Captain Bayonne?
Yes. It was all part of my plan to get the world to be fat. You're disgusting.
Wait. Captain Bayonne, the Jersey City Joker is telling me that he was the one who tried to hit you with the car.
I'm just mystified at this point. I don't know what to say.
You miss me, don't you? I won't miss the next time.
So, Berlo, you believe this?
Oh, man. What the hell's wrong with this guy?
I don't know. Jersey City Joker, what do you dislike about Captain Bayonne? He's trying to do things for the community. He's trying to make people healthy.
I despise healthiness. I have so much invested in unhealthy lifestyles. It makes me rich, and I will not stand for this.
Now, what do you do in Jersey City exactly?
I own rascals. I own elevators. Nobody takes stairs in my building.
Wow. You're very eccentric.
I have so much money invested in so many things. I fool people into thinking they're eating healthy, Scott.
Now, Jersey City Joker, I can't see you right now. Can you put the video mode on your Skype, please?
Which button do I hit?
That one.
It brought up Internet Explorer.
You are morbidly obese.
Don't you love it, Scott? Look at my rolls of fat and muggle fit.
You're gonna be a big target in Jersey City.
It was very hard to get out of the car to look at my work with Captain Bayonne.
I'm telling you, you want to slim down.
Don't you dare tell me what to do, Captain Bayonne.
Now, Captain Bayonne, this is a guy calling you that somehow interrupted our interview here. That quiet Joker. And he's telling me that he is all about eating, okay, and rascals and jazzies and elevators. Do you have anything to say to him?
Rascals was still there.
Well, apparently he still loves them.
I love them all. I just want to take a bite into a Jersey's devil dog.
Now, Captain Bayonne, maybe somewhere like Jew Dickie's in Bayonne, the Joker can meet you at.
He can, yeah, absolutely. They have those sprinkled donuts you like.
Yeah.
I love them all, but I will only go there to destroy Captain Bayonne. I have a plan to finally destroy him.
Which is what?
I have brought together a team of supervillains, all bent on the destruction of Captain Bayonne.
A team of supervillains, you say?
Yes.
All right. Who's your team, you slob?
Oh, I call them the Slothy Seven.
The Slothy Seven,
yes!
Huh?
Oh, man.
We have all the major food groups in there. We have Starch Madness. We have Diana Beatties.
Diana Beatties.
Yes. We have a black man from the future, from the stars. We call him Lardo Calrissian.
Lardo Calrissian.
Yes. We have the Franklin Fupa.
The Franklin Fupa.
And the Gluten Girdle Twins.
The Gluten...
Yes.
Girdle Twins.
Yes, they wear this very tight girdle, and once Captain Bayonne gets close to them, they'll let it go, and he'll snap his head off.
Wow.
That is one hell of a lineup, let me tell you.
Lardo Calrissian.
Yes.
That might be my favorite one. Now, how do you plan to implement this plan? Were you going to catch him on the streets? There's no way you can catch him.
That's been the problem for the last couple of years. We have this plan where we're going to plant a bomb on his suit.
A bomb?
Yes. And we are going to trigger it. So if he goes above 2 miles an hour, it will explode. People have to walk everywhere.
So I think I've seen this movie. Did you take that from Speed?
Speed 2, the boat one. I didn't know that they made the first one.
I don't think Keanu was in that one.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Keanu, you know? We had this discussion when I almost ran you over, remember?
Uh-huh. Wow. Now, if you the bomb thing fails, he's still going to be walking everywhere.
Yes. Well, I'll just have to work on all the people he tries to teach about nutrition. I will fool them. I will teach them the different things that they think are healthy, which are not.
Joker, what's in your pocket? What is that?
This?
Is that a burrito?
Yeah. I filled it with all different types of things. There's licorice. There's gummy bears.
You're eating a licorice burrito.
Yes. There's steak. There's sour cream. There's all the things.
That is disgusting.
Jersey City Joker loves this. And he will make sure that everybody eats one every day.
All right, Joker, you're really interrupting the show here. Do you have one last word for Captain Bayonne?
Yes. I am going to teach your disciples the wrong things. I'm going to teach them.
Don't you dare.
I am going
Don't to teach you them. Dare.
They're going to learn that fried zucchini is healthy. You can have endless boneless barbecue wings, provided you just eat one of those carrot sticks or celery stalks.
Joker, you're getting bigger by the minute.
Listen to me.
Uh-oh.
I have a certain set of skills.
Uh-oh.
Don't you threaten me. I swear we will meet one more
Joker,
time.
can you let Captain speak?
All right.
What does he got to say? Okay, go ahead, Captain. Address this situation, please.
I just want to know if you paid extra for the condiments and the burrito.
Well, it was like 50 cents extra. I like the guacamole. Okay.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal. No, I can't believe I got it at Chipotle.
There's a shortage on the guacamole, the fruit there.
Yeah.
The shortage.
No, they had plenty of them there. I asked for extra.
Wow.
Overload.
All right, Joker, I'm going to hang up on you. You are disgusting to look at, one.
You will learn to love that.
You have candy wrappers falling out of your pockets. Are you in a wheelchair?
Well, I lost a leg and all because of the Diana Beatties. It was very awkward. That's how I met her in the hospital. But she's great in the Slothy 7.
All right. Thank you, Jersey City Joker. enjoy the hipsters over in your town.
I will Skype you again.
Goodbye.
Day.
Goodbye. Wow. What the hell was that?
Dude, yeah. I was in the bathroom. What was up with that guy?
Yeah, coming out of the woodwork.
Wow. How did he even know? This isn't even live.
I guess we shouldn't really promote this show to everybody.
Well, that was a little disturbing. Captain Bayonne, you okay?
I'm good.
Did you even know you had an arch nemesis?
Like I said, they seem to pop out of the woodwork. I had a Dr. Cronuts after me as well.
The Hoboken Hulk over there? I heard of him.
I'm sure he's going to come looking for me too. I mean, I guess it's like when you put yourself out there, you know, people got to come find you and they got a beef with you. And I don't know what the beef's about. I mean, I can only just assume what it is and do the best I can.
I believe the great rapper 50 Cent said, Haters gonna hate. Yep.
Yeah, I know 50 Cent was talking about Captain Bayonne when he wrote that.
Well, naturally.
Yep.
Now,
that's what the condiments cost, 50 Cent.
No, Captain Bayonne.
He might have been writing about condiments. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Now, Captain Bayonne, do you reveal your identity to people?
No, I don't.
That's great. So you are. So when you are not, do you ever run minus the gear just to not be noticed?
Sometimes at the gym at work, yeah. I mean, I've had some issues at the gym at work where people have called security on me. it hasn't even been with the full mask. It's been with like Under Armour makes like a cold weather mask. It's like a black mask.
Right.
And it's sort of like a ninja mask, and you can put it over your mouth, and all you see is just your eyes. That's it. So, I mean, since I run like this, it's sort of like training for me.
Okay.
So I'll wear it. But yeah, I had an episode where I work at an institution of higher learning.
Ah, yes.
I was on the treadmill, and it was like the beginning of the school year. So it was only freshmen that were there at the gym. And I got on the treadmill, and there was a student on one side and a student on the other. I had the mask on. So I get into the music. So, you know, sometimes I'll start banging my head a little bit, you know, because it's heavy metal music. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bang your head. I mean, if I could mosh on the treadmill, I would do that as well. But
no one's stopping you.
Yeah, I mean, you know. So one of them got off the treadmill. I saw him go upstairs and go to the front desk. And then the other one left, and I saw them also go upstairs. And the next thing I know, I have a security guard standing behind me. And I'm like, you know, well, I know what this is about. And, you know, I wasn't finished, so I was just going to finish my run. And then I got off the treadmill, and, you know, I was just like, this is ridiculous. And I just headed in the other direction, and, you know, to just get away from the security guard. So by the time I got upstairs, they had sent like the whole force coming at me.
Wow.
Yeah. And
Slothy seven?
It was about like, I don't know, like five of them.
They didn't get the whole group yet.
And the supervisor, you know, he's got the big fat guy. He got the polo shirt on, and, you know, he's pointing his finger in my face, and he's telling me I got to take the mask off, and what am I doing here, and do I have ID? And, you know, I'm like, you know, let's calm down here a little bit. Let's not get crazy. What are you getting so crazy about? You can't see my face. I mean, what's my face going to do to you? It's, you know,
yeah.
You know, I might be extremely ugly under here. What do you know? Maybe I'm doing you a favor.
Right.
So then I just started saying, you know, like, what? Well, that guy over there, I don't like his T-shirt. Make him take it off.
Now, is there...
say that about the women all the time when I'm in the gym.
Yeah,
I don't like her top. Oh. Take it off.
Nope. It hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
And you keep it getting kicked out.
Yeah, I meet the same security guards in the process.
Now, Captain Bayonne, is there a Mrs. Captain Bayonne?
There is.
Wow. Yes. Now, what does she think of this ridiculousness?
She's very supportive. Okay. Yeah. We've been married. It's going to be 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So
she knew you pre-captain before you earned captain.
She's.
Yeah. I mean, I met her in New York. We worked for a consulting firm on Park Avenue. And I thought for some reason she had a boyfriend. So I didn't really. I don't know. I mean, I just knew from the minute I saw her that there was something extremely special about her. But. You know, I didn't know what the situation was. And then I asked her to go to one of my comedy shows in New York, and she came to it. And, you know, I guess it's been love ever after. She's used to the way I am.
Yes. So has she ever thought about joining you on a run as Mrs. Bayonne?
She's tried to run, but I guess her knees bother her a lot.
Fucking
so
Joker. Joker got her too. How's he back on? No.
Hey, you press the button to redial. Yeah.
But she's in very good shape. She does yoga. I mean, she only weighs like 125 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we got married, I think we weighed about the same. It was like, I think we both weighed about 150 pounds.
That must have been post-college then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Post-10 bread peanut butter sandwiches.
I mean, once I actually put her pants on and went to work, not purposely.
This is getting weird, Captain Bayonne. This is getting weird now.
Our jeans looked a lot alike, so I put the jeans on, and then I came home realizing I'd been wearing women's jeans all day.
And so the bedazzles and the flowers on it didn't
like the, off. Juicy on the butt.
Jordache, I think it was like the first line of Jordache.
So, Captain Bayonne, if people want to go check you out, they want to go look up Captain Bayonne or communicate with Captain Bayonne. You communicated with me very quickly, and it turns out we have a personal friend that we both know. But where can people go to check out the happenings of Captain Bayonne?
You can definitely get in touch with me on Facebook, Instagram. I don't do Twitter. That's the only thing I don't do.
And you just look up Captain Bayonne.
Yeah, you could just type in Facebook, Captain Bayonne, You can go on YouTube. You can see some of my other interviews. You can see the video for The Ballad of Captain Bayonne. You could actually download that song for free as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's multiple ways to get in touch with me.
Beautiful. And what's on the horizon for Captain Bayonne? Anything coming up?
I just had somebody also contact me today asking me to come to a middle school to talk to the kids about proper nutrition. And, you know, so, you know, it's definitely something I would do. And, you know, anything that's going on out there, I mean, anything that people need help with, I'm more than willing to help out with. I mean, garbage is the other thing, too. It's I do a lot of cleanups in Bayonne. I just go around picking garbage up and just throwing it away.
Nice.
I actually did a cleanup. That was one of the first things somebody sent to me when the page went up, was to help out with keeping the city clean. And I did go to one of these events, and I ended up finding a bulletproof vest, two guns, and ammunition.
So Captain Bayonne is loaded now.
Yeah.
Punisher, Captain Bayonne.
Hey, no. We turned that into the police department. Actually, it was funny because, the police department came to get it, and, my friend was telling him Captain Bayonne found it, and the guy, he just wouldn't even look at me.
We don't need that in evidence. No, that's fine.
He didn't want to ask any questions or anything.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if, like, it led to, like, a murder and Captain Bayonne had to come to the trial?
Well, I mean, the funny thing was, after I left the cleanup, then the police department started calling me on my phone, asking me to come back, and they wanted to take some pictures as to where I found it.
Did they put a Captain Bayonne light in the sky to signal you?
No, they just called me on my cell phone.
No.
That's interesting. No.
You were supposed to say yes.
But then I had to go down to the police department the next day and give a statement. And then, of course, I show up like this, and I have to go into an interrogation room. And, you know, they were very nice and told me, you know, could you just please take the mask off? Because we have to videotape this and we see your face. And
I would pay for that video.
I was wearing the Captain America outfit, the whole, you know, form-fitting Captain America outfit. But I was nice enough to bring donuts and coffee.
Donuts?
And bagels. Yeah, you know, cops, they love that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's against Captain Bayonne's morals.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a Sunday.
Well, Captain Bayonne, we want to just thank you for coming on and popping on for a little while, and we wish you the best of luck in all your superhero happenings.
Yo, you two guys, let me tell you, you two, oh, I love you guys.
We love you too. You're part of the Verbal Shenanigans family now.
Welcome. Oh, my God. We should hook up with that Joker guy, and, you know.
I don't know. He's disgusting. He really was disgusting.
Did somebody call my name?
Shut up.
Get on the phone.
No, hang up.
He just, I don't know, he like overrides my system somehow. But anyway, thank you so much for popping on, and we will be in touch.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Captain.
Send me the link when it's ready, and I'd be happy to publicize anything you have.
Absolutely. Awesome. It'd be about a week.
You guys are awesome.
All right. Take care, man. Captain.
Take care.
Wow.
Wow. The man, the myth, the legend.
Captain Bayonne.
I still see that scene where they're in like the trial and on the defense lawyer's just like, look at who's testifying for the prosecution.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely like some murder on the street that got off.
This don't fit, so I quit.
So, wow, that Jersey City Joker was something else.
Yeah, man. He was quite over the top, man. He really had something against Captain Bayonne.
Well, I guess every superhero has its arch nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Will we ever see the Jersey City Joker again?
I sure hope not. I hope he's with Hack-O-Lantern somewhere.
They're having a drink.
We sure got them.
Oh, God.
Hey, guys. Things were crazy. Sorry I'm late.
Jesus. And clown shoes will show up one day, too. All right, well.
Did we ever explain clown shoes?
No, we'll save it for next week.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I think that brings us to the end. Anything to promote, Berlu?
I guess I'll just promote my page, facebook.com/theburls, DABURLS721.
get your Tonight on the Walking Dead, promote the show.
Yep.
Pretty soon, some videos and other stuff.
Absolutely. And I'm going to promote, it's a little while, not too far, December 19th, I'll be doing my first hosting spot for the Comedy Shop.
Ooh.
With headliner Mark Riccadonna, and I'm excited to work with those guys, and hopefully you can get some work from them. They're all good guys over there, so that's in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, Pompton Plains, and just go to thecomedyshop.com. They have tons of shows all over the whole area, so I'll do that. So please keep following us on Twitter. Keep listening to us on iTunes and Stitcher and all that fun stuff. Vote for us on Podcast Land. And I think that's it. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it.
Play my theme song, Scott.
I hate that guy.